Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so happy you all are here. Let's begin our call with just joining together in silence for a few moments. And taking a nice deep breath and releasing everything that we've been doing in our day, thoughts of the future, thoughts of the past, and simply being willing to settle into right here, right now. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. So taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we're picking up off last week. In the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 315. It's the first full paragraph. It begins with, "Seeing is always outward." In the original edition, it is Chapter 13, Part 6, Paragraph number 51. It's on page 265 of the print version of the book. Again, it begins with, "Seeing is always outward." And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 271, Paragraph number 3. So in the Sparkle edition that I'm reading from, the subheading is called "The Testimony of Miracles." In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's different. It's called "The Conditions of Learning." So let's pick up where we left off. Seeing is always outward. Were your thoughts wholly of you, the thought system which you made would be forever dark. The thoughts which the mind of God's Son projects have all the power that he gives to them. The thoughts he shares with God are beyond his belief, but those he made are his beliefs. And it is these, and not the truth, that he has chosen to defend and love. They will not be taken from him, but they can be given up by him, for the source of their undoing is in him. There is nothing in the world to teach him that the logic of the world is totally insane and leads to nothing. Yet in him who made this insane logic, there is one who knows it leads to nothing, for he knows everything. And I'll just pause there to see if anybody has anything come up in that paragraph. I'll just begin by sharing that I feel like this is just such a beautiful paragraph and really sums up sort of the course, in a sense, where we've made these beliefs that we've chosen to believe. Truth is beyond belief. Truth still is, and it's unchanged regardless of what we might believe or what we might be caught up in thinking right now. And nothing is taken from us. So anything that we cherish, any of these beliefs that we've made that we hold dear, aren't going to be taken from us, but they're transformed. So there's that exchange where we choose to give that belief, that thought, whatever that is, to the Holy Spirit, and we get back the miracle instead. So nothing is lost. And I also like how it says, too, there's nothing in the world to teach him that the logic of the world is totally insane and leads to nothing. Yet in him who made this insane logic, there is one who knows it leads to nothing, for he knows everything. And that's the Holy Spirit, which is outside of this world. It's that logic outside of the world's thought system.
You know, it's such good news. It really is such good news. But what occurs to me is something that happened this week. I was disturbed. There were a lot of disturbing things that went on this week, and I did the workbook lesson. I think it was Wednesday's workbook lesson. I'm not sure of the number, but I tell you, it just took what was it was it's set up so beautifully that no matter what it is that's upsetting you, you could apply this workbook lesson to it, and I could feel myself become transformed by it. I went from feeling so low to, it was so miraculous. Honestly, it really, I don't know. I don't know what I would do without this book. I really don't.
Like, that's so beautiful, because in any, like with anything, with any situation, whatever it is, we have.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. We can choose again. We can, just like you described, you know, that shift, that miracle, that transformation that happens. It's there for our taking always. It's always there for us to just simply turn to.
And it kind of came down to, you're never upset for the reason you think. And I know that's another workbook lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought was upsetting me really was not it at all. What I realized is I was just overwhelmed. I couldn't seem to zero in on that feeling. But when I read that workbook lesson, I realized it wasn't that person out there that was disturbing me. It was just this feeling of being overwhelmed, too much, you know, information overload. And it was such a relief, because I was projecting it out onto someone and who had nothing to do with the situation at all. But I, honestly, without these workbook lessons, I don't.
Awesome.
I don't know.
That, to me, what you just described was just another living, breathing example of the, you know, the page 90 prayer. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace.
Yeah.
I made the decision myself. It has nothing to do with that other person out there. It happened in me, and so I can choose again. That's awesome. Even if those words, you know, if they didn't go through your mind, that still, it just still speaks to that process of that shift.
Corinne, awesome. I'm telling you, it was really quite something, because I sometimes just get a little shut down, you know, and it's hard for me to sort of open my heart at times to people and to new experiences. And I could really see how a lot of that is stress-based,
mm-hmm.
you know. And this book is a great stress reliever.
Isn't it?
Better than any tranquilizer I've ever taken, I'll tell you that.
It's like stress relief on speed.
Oh,
ultra,
man.
Ultra deep. Yep. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I love that. Thank you, Paula, for sharing that. That's
You're really welcome.
Perfect example. Oh, does anybody else have anything that came up for you in this first paragraph, or should we keep reading?
Hey, family.
Hi, Carla. Welcome.
That's Carla.
Hi.
Hey, before I keep going, I'm so sorry that you shared a great story at the end of the call last week, and then it looked like you got dropped off the call, and it was the end of the hour. So
yeah.
I wanted to know, we really appreciated what you shared.
Thank you. I was like, wow. My ego was like, oh, no, you don't. That's enough of you. But thank you for saying that. So I just wanted to say hey to y'all and just see where y'all were reading from.
Sure. We just began. So you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, I believe. If you go to page 271,
mm-hmm.
we just finished reading paragraph number 3. So you'll be starting with paragraph number 4.
All right. Thanks.
Again, page 271. Cool. Okay. Let's read the next paragraph. Any direction which will lead you where the Holy Spirit leads you not goes nowhere. Anything you deny, which he knows to be true, you have denied yourself, and he must therefore teach you not to deny it. Undoing is indirect, as doing is. You were created only to create, neither to see nor do. These are but indirect expressions of the will to live, which has been blocked by the capricious and unholy whim of death and murder that your father shared not with you. You have set yourselves the task of sharing what cannot be shared. And while you think it possible to learn to do this, you will not believe all that is possible to learn to do. So something I just want to jump right in and highlight in this paragraph, because last week we read a sentence. I'm looking just one page back from actually from what we just read. It was one to the third paragraph behind what we just read. In about the middle of that paragraph, it says, indirect proof of truth is needed in a world made of denial and without direction. So we oftentimes, you know, we're okay with accepting healing right now, let's say, through a pill or through vitamins or through, you know, things that seem to fit into the laws of this world, that those are safer ways for us to accept healing than to accept healing directly through from the mind, you know, through the Holy Spirit, which is what we're learning how to do again. And so because the direct proof of truth is a little too scary for us, you know, the Course talks about how we're terrified of it. This indirect proof of truth, what we just read here, in the paragraph that we just read, I sort of put a box around this sentence. Undoing is indirect as doing is. So this whole process of undoing, you know, we think about it as this you know, thing that we're working with, but it's actually indirect. It's not needed in truth, meaning it's not something we need when we know with a capital K. It's an indirect process right now because that's acceptable to us. We were actually only created, as it says, to create or to extend love, neither to see nor do. So these things about seeing, doing, you know, the things that the body might do are things that we made up. So that struck me in that paragraph, so I figured I would just share that. Questions or comments or anything else that came up for you while we were reading this paragraph? Any sentences that stand out? I have another thing I can share that just came forward for me. So the first sentence that we just read, any direction which will lead you where the Holy Spirit leads you not goes nowhere. So again, what a beautiful reminder that when we're acting without the Holy Spirit, when we're acting on our own small will, when Corinne thinks she knows what needs to happen, we're not going anywhere. And yet, as we've talked previously on many calls, the Holy Spirit will use everything that we've made to help us wake up. So even if we are making the choice, you know, Corinne thinks something has to happen, and so I'm going to make it happen, even if I'm in that sort of state, I can still just hand that whole thing over to the Holy Spirit, just have that tiny bit of willingness. And even if I'm acting with my ego, if I'm still being willing, the Holy Spirit will still use that for my awakening. So there's no mistakes. We can't get it wrong. It's all perfect. So I love that first sentence.
Wow, and usually the ego is in the background saying, oh, you blew it. Oh, that's it.
Right.
There's no going back from this one.
Right.
It's over for you.
Yep. I guess the one other thing that just stands out to me, that sentence in the middle of the paragraph, these are but indirect expressions of the will to live, which has been blocked by the capricious and unholy whim of death and murder that your father shared not with you. So again, this is just speaking to these ego beliefs that we have chosen to believe in, that have blocked our true will to live, our true will to be in knowing, to be in truth, which we've blocked because we wanted to experience specialness. So I'll just share that as well. let's read the next paragraph. The Holy Spirit, therefore, must begin his teaching by showing you what you can never learn. His message is not indirect, but he must introduce the simple truth into a thought system which has become so twisted and so complex that you cannot see that it means nothing. He merely looks at its foundation and dismisses it. But you, who cannot undo what you have made, cannot see through it. It deceives you because you chose to deceive yourselves. Those who choose to be deceived will merely attack direct approaches, which would seem but to encroach upon deception and strike at it. And again, I'll pause there. So this, again, to me speaks to how the Holy Spirit will use anything that we've made. The Holy Spirit will meet us exactly where we're at and meet us in a way that we can understand. And for me, you know, I think about when I first began a spiritual path and the things that I was reading, you know, way back then before I found the course, it was all divine. It was all, you know, it wasn't the ultimate path for me, but it served as a stepping stone to bring me another path, you know, that I could perhaps take further. So the Holy Spirit will always meet us where we are.
And are you saying that that's what the Holy Spirit was doing along the way?
I think that
in your seeking?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I think what I needed, you know, what I was ready to hear at that time was exactly, you know, what showed up. I wasn't ready to take it further at that time. And when my mom, gosh, so I began the course in 97. My mom introduced me to it before then. And when she did, I would literally put my hands on my ears, yell, like, talk to me in English like you used to. Like, I hated this course babble. It just didn't make any sense to me, and it just angered me. I wasn't ready to hear it. I just wasn't ready for it, and it wasn't until I was in that place of complete desperation from panic attacks that I was willing to try anything. So the other things, though, you know, that I was willing to be open to, they helped to open up my mind. It was all helpful. So that's why I guess I share that, because, you know, I used to, like, see other course teachers and be like, oh, gosh, they're not exactly teaching the course based on what it actually says. It's, you know, their interpretation is much different. And I just realize now that, you know, they're saying it in a way that certain people need to hear it, because that's what they're ready for.
That's
so,
right, because there's so many paths. You know,
yeah,
Corinne, it was funny, because I was always a seeker, you know, from for many years, and I would go from one thing to the next. Eric Butterworth, I would read all of this, and it would be, oh, well, yeah, this is really good, and I'd feel like, oh, yeah, I really found something here, but it never would sustain me. But the course, I mean,
right.
Anytime I open this book,
yeah,
I get exactly what it is. So consistent and so practical.
It is. I agree.
When you're willing to open it and...
right.
Like, how rotten do I want to feel today? Oh, I better open the book.
I love it. And it makes me think, too, I mean, we always get what we need and the way that we need to hear it, and yet the Course is saying the exact same thing over and over and over and over.
Oh.
So it's kind of funny like that. But for you know, we've made things so complex where it says, you know, our thought system, which has become so twisted and so complex that you cannot see that it means nothing. We love what we made, this complex and twisted thought system, needs this complex and twisted, not that the course is twisted, but this more complex, you know, dense book, because we have to slow down and, you know, begin to digest it. If it just said, you know, the first, like, opening lines, you know, the first opening lines, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal can exist, herein lies the peace of God. If that's all it said, we'd be, okay, sure. Great, let's move on. So it's helpful that it's complex because for those of us who feel called, you know, to the path, we keep sort of getting it on a deeper and deeper level every time we revisit it based on our willingness.
You know, it's that airline situation this week in Germany with that pilot. I thought it was so interesting. There was I never had heard of anything like that before in my life. So I thought, oh, my God, I actually started watching television and following it. And I realized it's the same old, same old. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It leads nowhere. It leads absolutely nowhere. There's no analyzing it or figuring it out or anything.
Right.
It is just a whole lot. And honestly, I could just feel my heart open for that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow.
And all those people in a way that I didn't feel any judgment around it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt a lot of love for them all. I don't know how else to explain that.
Yeah. These things, you know, that happen every day that we can learn all about by just turning on the news at any point, you know, in the day with things happening all over the world. Just my eyes, when you were sharing, just immediately landed on that sentence that we just read as it being, you know, an expression, this unholy whim of death and murder that our Father shared not with us. And so our task when we see these things, becomes to give it to the Holy Spirit, to give what we see, that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let's not see it as a sign of sin and death. And let's learn how to let the Holy Spirit use it to facilitate peace instead. Thank you for sharing that, Paula. Deidre, I thought I heard you for a second. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Oh, when you were talking about, you know, how the Course, we feel that we need this long thing, just reminded me of, you know, how the Course is saying the same thing over and over, and it's really just two words, not guilty.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
And that's it.
I love it. And we can even sum it, you know, sum it up in one word, right? With capital L, love.
yeah, I was going to say that too.
I love it. Not guilty. That's perfect. And again, we could read that and be like, okay, sure. And and think that we have it when really there's more to it than that. Beautiful. So, okay, so we just finished this section. Any comments or questions, or we can keep moving? I'll just also mention, because my eyes just landed on the last sentence that we just read, those who choose to be deceived. Think of my example with my mom that I just shared, choosing to be deceived. Those who choose to be deceived, will merely attack direct approaches, which would seem but to encroach upon deception and strike at it. So it wasn't something that I was ready for. It wasn't something that I wanted to hear. And so I was in attack mode at that time. And I know for me, I haven't had any experience like this in a while, but, you know, coming into contact with others perhaps who aren't on a Course path, that this can be very threatening because it sort of turns everything upside down. So we'll keep moving. So now I'm in the section in the Sparkle called the Happy Learner, and it's actually also called that in the FIP edition, the Happy Learner. I love that phrase. The Holy Spirit needs a happy learner in whom his mission can be happily accomplished. You who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first recognize that you are miserable and not happy. The Holy Spirit cannot teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you have undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends means absolutely nothing. It does make sense to you. So happy learners, I don't know if it's in this section, but happy learner does not feel guilty about learning. So that means we go through what we need to go through. We go through our lessons. We recognize we can't just skip right over them and take a spiritual bypass, but instead we just go through our experiences and we are willing to look at them with the Holy Spirit as we go. So we don't feel guilty about anything. Because as Deidre so summed up the whole course, not guilty. This is also, too, this idea of contrast was something that really was resonating with me. I think I wrote a little bit about it in a recent blog post. But the contrast for me has been so helpful because you have to, you know, when we're confused, when we think that we'll be happier by, you know, having a stronger ego, meaning and that can mean a million different things, whether it's, you know, achieving certain things in the world or having certain things. We think that that is the way to happiness. That's what the world teaches. And the Holy Spirit needs this idea of contrast to help us begin to see that that actually doesn't make us happy. So when we have these little experiences that build our trust in the Holy Spirit and we can learn how these other things don't make us happy, it's that contrast that's really helpful. So the Holy Spirit uses that contrast on our behalf.
A lot of times I think contrast really helps me realize that I don't know what the hell I want.
Right?
I truly believe that anymore. I don't know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And but God does know what's really good for me. And, you know, just trying to step back and really let him lead the way is the challenge. And when I do think I know is when things don't go well.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, so true. So true. I'll read the next paragraph. Have faith in nothing, and you will find the treasure that you sought. Yet you will add another burden to your mind, already burdened, or you would have not sought another. You will believe that nothing is of value. You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it. A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a war are one to you. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you have believed that nothing can be precious and that you can learn how to make the untrue true. So this really speaks to, again, the totality, the non-dualistic teaching of the Course and how this can be a really threatening thought to the ego, but that everything in this world is not our truth, that there's not one thing here that is of our actual home. And so that, for me, is, you know, I was thinking, gosh, I mean, you can just think of anything on the news, but I know this was particularly profound or upfront for me when Hurricane Sandy hit the Jersey Shore. It was just a good reminder for me that this world is not our home. It's nothing here is stable. Nothing here lasts forever. And it's not our home. And so by not building our foundation here in this world or with the ego, and instead choosing to build that foundation with the Holy Spirit, we end up building a house that can't be, and I'm not talking about a physical house, but, you know, we end up building that home in where it really abides, in God, in love. And this also reminds me, too, of how when we make even that tiny little choice for the ego, we don't see how quickly we sort of, I think I've said this before, slide down the banister of, you know, the stairwell, like down flat into the basement again. So when we make one little choice that we've chosen to keep, let's say, apart from the Holy Spirit or apart from truth, we won't see how quickly we'll start sliding down the ego again, which is okay. Again, there's nothing wrong with this. It's just all about looking at whatever's happening with the Holy Spirit.
You know, also, I think the Course is so valuable in its constant reminder that there is no death.
Mm-hmm.
because I can just simply this week, you know, my sister-in-law passed, a friend of mine, her son died. It's just been a lot of that. And even that airplane situation with all of those people on it. And it just couldn't rock my foundation, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt some confusion around it, but the more I went to the books in those situations, it just became a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
And I felt where one time my God, it really would have been, would have ruined my day.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go on.
It really didn't you know, just being in the moment and moving through it and just keep moving through it, but not alone.
Right.
It was really quite wonderful.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. You reminded me, Paula, that when September 11th happened, I remember waking up that morning, and before I got up and turned on the TV, I don't remember now the exact words that were coming to me, but it was just this felt sense, this gut sense that all is well, that this world is not our home, that anything that the body's eyes see, that it's not our truth. And it was this sort of feeling of, again, just feeling like I had both my feet in the Holy Spirit's camp. It didn't feel like I was, you know, sort of wavering between the ego and the Holy Spirit. It was this just feeling of feeling really solid. And when I turned on the TV and saw, you know, what was in the midst of happening, I think at that point, neither of the towers had collapsed fully yet. You know, I felt the emotions of, you know, the horror and the shock, and yet there was something deep down in the core of me that felt steady. So I just resonated with what you were sharing.
And that sustained, you know, as we move forward in life with this material.
Absolutely.
It becomes, it really becomes, you're literally sustained by the love of God through all of these, the craziness, you know.
That's so true. Like, I have had so many instances recently where I just feel like I'm here, but I'm not here. Like,
I'm sorry. DJ, I want to hear, I definitely want you to continue. I think your microphone might be either rubbing,
if you could just
do a microphone adjustment, there was some noise as if it was rubbing on something or,
is it doing it now?
No, now it's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Please continue.
Yeah, I just had so many experiences lately that I just feel like, you know, I have an awareness that I'm here and I'm living within duality, but there's another part of me that just doesn't feel like I'm here at all. Like I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I have that feeling a lot. And there are two experiences that come to mind. One is most people who listen to the recordings or have been coming to the calls for the last several months know that my dad, the person I knew as my dad, transitioned in September. And I'm a medium, so I'm still able to communicate on a soul level with his energy. And he was asking me to look at some things from childhood that were still holding me back. And Corinne, you were talking about the contrast earlier in tonight's call, and the message that I got with him, you know, from him giving it to me, was that the extent to which we experience suffering or contrast is the extent to which we want to have an awareness of the love that we are, the innocence that we are. And I just felt that that was so profound because I was able to take that and then apply it to these situations from childhood that were still kind of lingering, and was able to look at it from that standpoint, like the extent to which I felt pain or suffering was really how much I wanted to know my true identity. And from that standpoint, it really like took everything that I had previously thought about what occurred, because as we know from what the Course says, nothing actually happens. It's just that you know, you're either aligned with the truth or you're not. And so that was really profound. And then in this process of, you know, applying for school and funding and all of the other things, I just have this profound awareness that, yes, I'm doing the steps, I'm filling out the necessary forms, I'm doing this, but it's spirit that's doing it. Like, does that make sense? It just really feels...
Oh, totally makes sense.
Like, I mean, like, I'm in the world and I'm filling out the forms, which are in effect meaningless, but spirit's doing it. That's really how it's felt.
And trusting that. Trusting that is the ongoing, you know, for me, it's calling, help me trust that.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit. You know, it's that constant calling on Holy Spirit to help me with that.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, trust would settle all things now.
Yeah.
And all of the doubt and uncertainty is lifted when we work through these situations with Holy Spirit, when we allow Him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I really resonate with everything, Paula, with what you just said, and Deidre with what you just shared. I've had that sense too of just feeling it. The best word at the moment that I can think of is that it feels like being carried, like you're just sort of being gently like carried through this like really soft, gentle breeze, and it's that effortlessness. It's just that effortlessness is, I think, the best word.
Yeah, like you have an awareness of the body, but there's also this sense that it's not has nothing to do with your body. It's something is lifting you, something's carrying you, like you said, Corinne.
Yeah.
You know, you share this every week or recently. It stays with me throughout the week, and it's so helpful, Deidre. I can't.
It's
really, it's really been helping me a lot.
Well, and I feel compelled to share this. I hope it's okay, but it's like for anyone that's dealing with people that have transitioned or crossed over to non-physical. Like people in non-physical really want those of us who are still in physical to be aware that they are still here. They haven't gone anywhere. Nothing has happened. And it's a great point of frustration for people to invest in the idea of death so much that, you know, they think that they cannot communicate with people that have transitioned and left the body, because to a great extent, because these energies are not confined to the physical body, they're able to help us in ways that we can't even fathom, because we're not in non-physical, right? So I'm constantly, like, I sit down to write an essay for a scholarship application or applications to school, and I'm like, okay, God, here you go. What do you want me to write? And then I just let it pour out of me. I'm not doing it. I'm calling upon every energy that I can possibly channel and just letting it go. And that's, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. but I feel like I've already been accepted to one of these schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure you have.
It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Awesome. There's a quote in the course, and I just tried to search for it really quick and couldn't come up with anything. I'd have to look, but it says something to the effect of just how, you know, communication goes beyond the body. You don't need, I mean, we know this, obviously, you know, we've been studying this. I couldn't remember the exact quote, but it's just, it was just coming to mind, so.
Yeah, there's like, it's like a weightlessness feeling. Like you have an awareness that your body is there, but you've left it in a way, and you're just letting whatever comes, come.
Yeah, thanks, Deidre, for sharing that. That's
You're
so
welcome.
Powerful. Awesome.
Deidre, that, you know, my sister-in-law passed last Saturday night, I guess, and then when we had the call on Sunday, I had just gotten a call about that.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law had called me and told me that my other sister-in-law called me and said that Nancy had passed. And after our call, I just felt great. I mean, this was so uplifting. The next morning when I went into work, it's still, I get over there around 6:15 in the morning, and it was like really crisp and cold, and the air was, it was just a beautiful morning, and walking in from the parking lot, she was right there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego, you know, the ego was back there saying, oh, you're nuts, you're nuts.
Yeah.
And no, I felt her presence. It was so delightful.
Mm. There's something around, I don't know why, but there's something around sunflowers with this person. So just take that with you. It might be a way that they communicate later.
There's something about sunflowers with this person? Is that
what
you said?
Yeah, I feel like it might be
she
a way.
She loves sunflowers.
Yeah. So she wants
some. They had like a Thanksgiving dinner the night before she passed because she loved Thanksgiving. She knew she was going. You know, she was very ill.
Yeah.
And, They had sunflowers on the, Sandy told me they had sunflowers on the
yeah,
table.
Yeah, and she wants you to know, like, when you see sunflowers, that's a way that she's communicating.
Oh, my God,
you.
I got chills.
Yeah.
You got chills. I'm getting teary. Oh, my God.
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you so much for
You're
sharing
welcome.
That.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Wow.
I'll pause for another moment. Anybody else on the call have anything they feel moved to share?
I wanted to share something. First, thank you all so much for what you all have been sharing. This is my first time ever being able to connect with other students of the course, so I'm just been sitting back here like really happy just to, you know, when you're reading the course by yourself, it could kind of feel like you're alone on an island. So just to come across other people who are having, you know, these powerful transformations and experiences, and it's really refreshing for me. But, you know, just as it was a number of things that you all said. First off, I found it, Corinne. I found the happy learner in my chapter 14. But, you know, I think, was it Deirdre you were saying?
Deirdre, yeah.
Deirdre, how you feel kind of like, in the world but not of it, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've had just a couple different experiences that, here recently has just kind of really just wowed me. And one of them was Okay. So something you said about, you know, someone, you just had someone transition, and although I didn't have someone, didn't physically transition, they kind of went away from my life, and so I experienced that deep kind of, you know, attachment and withdrawal and all of that. And it was a really good friend of mine, a guy. We were really good friends for, you know, a short period of time, but we shared a lot. And then he ended up going through some things, a whole lot of stuff in a short period of time, and his mother passed and just so many other things. And so he got really distant, stopped talking with me. And we were really good friends. And I would just say, man, gosh, you know, I miss, this is me just kind of saying inside of my spirit, I miss you. I miss you. I miss you. Like, where are you? I hope you're okay. Just kind of in my spirit. And so a couple of days ago, I was thinking to my, I said it to myself again, I miss you. And then I thought, well, what does miss mean? Miss is kind of an indication that I'm missing something that's not here. And then I thought, you know what, though? I said to him inside my spirit, I don't miss you. You're here. You're still a huge part of my life, and you have blessed me deeply. And so whatever this is that I'm feeling, it's not because you're not here, because I still feel so deeply impacted by your spirit. And me just, again, me talking in spirit to him, he's alive. So, like, I can't, and I just, every day, you know, this was a couple of days ago, so every day since then, every time it kind of come up in my spirit, that longing, I'll just say, you know what, you're here, and I know that you're here, and it's okay. And so I just released it and stopped trying to judge him for going away or just other things, my ego, just trying to make up stuff like, oh, something I did, he did, whatever. And it was so interesting, right when I let it go and just let it pass, he called me today. And
that's where it works.
Yeah, it totally is.
I was like, I mean, I didn't even, I just got really quiet. And I was just like, wow. I mean, like, wow, you know, and even inside of it, and this is where, you know, even though I was in the conversation, I felt like I wasn't really there because I was just so just thinking about, you know, just kind of what I just shared and just kind of being very, I found myself, because I happened to do a couple of work, you know, workbook sessions like back to back, and you know how that is, it really influences you and impacts you when you're, you know, consistent with it. So I just remember thinking, just I had this overwhelming, no judgment, no anger, no where you been, you know, just love and just no judgment. And I didn't feel guilty that I was happy. I wasn't angry with him. And it was just such a beautiful and serene type of exchange. But, again, I say all that to say I didn't feel like I was there. It was like my body was there, was me speaking, but it was like I felt the Holy Spirit, like, there, you know?
Yep.
You know, and then the last thing I wanted to say is, you know, this little part about you believe nothing. You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it. And that's that whole part that Corinne read earlier. And I was thinking to myself, you know, like kind of how we have like kind of different things that are upsetting our spirit. And there are a number of things in my life, many things I'm happy about, but some things that I'm not happy about. And as, you know, I was reading that part, I thought, you know, what if it's possible? What if I just be okay with that? What if I looked at whatever those things that's kind of in my spirit that I'm unhappy with, what if I looked at it like a piece of paper or whatever it is, acknowledge it and just, what if it's okay? Is this really what came to my mind? What if it's okay? And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's that letting go of resistance. It's all resistance.
Yeah, and that willingness to let go, and what if what if it was okay? You know, what if I was just okay with this? we're no longer feeding the ego. You know, we're no longer fueling. We're no longer putting fuel into the ego, because it's like, okay, this is just what's here right now, and it's here. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Pema Chodron is a Buddhist nun, and she wrote a book called The Wisdom of Uncertainty. And that's, uncertainty is a big issue with me. And it's just allowing it, just going it, going with it, not
yeah.
resisting it, you know? And it's transformed when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Awesome. Wow. I am so moved. I just, thank you, everybody. My goodness, that was, thank you, Alisheva, that was so helpful. Everything that you just shared,
yeah.
I really resonated with everything. And
yeah, beautiful.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we're at the top of the hour already.
God.
Anybody have anything as we wrap up, anything that they want to share or anything really quick?
Oh, my God. I'm going to try it again. Well, if it happens again, I'm going to say, you know, I love y'all and thank you so much for being here and being so great, being happy learners. Okay, so all I'm going to say is yesterday I was in New York. I went to some type of presentation, and I guess from some of the, I don't know, facial expressions or maybe expectations of the presenters, because they were selling something, my responses weren't what I suppose they thought that it should be in order to be successful in that particular business. And I made something out of it. You know, like I told myself a story about it, in addition to someone basically attacking me in Penn Station, like verbally, gave me directions to where I needed to go. And because I asked, he was giving out directions. So I said, well, maybe I'll just ask him. So I did. And he says, but by the time you wait for the train, you could walk there. I said, well, I'm going to just take the train. He was like yelling out really loud, like, you're lazy. You're lazy. And I was like, I don't even notice, man. I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's how I chose to do myself today, huh? So I turn around, I was like, thank you for judging me. You know, he's like, thank you. Oh, well, now, because that's all he heard, really. He heard the thank you part, and that just sent him over the edge, like I really talked about his mama or something like that. It was really unreal.
Wow.
And I just went about my business, and for the whole day, I just had this really heavy feeling of unhappiness and not being good enough for, I don't know, like I said, I made it all up, and I realized it, and I also had an invitation to visit a friend in Pennsylvania, so instead of staying home and cooking myself in that soup, I actually accepted the invite and went to spend some time with someone who loved me, and the feeling's mutual. And, you know, we had a great time. It was a beautiful day today, so driving back was marvelous. And I appreciated, I don't know who shared this earlier in the call, but they said something to the effect of to the same degree of my unhappiness equals the same degree of my desire to wake up. And I'm so glad to be able to look at it like that, because I knew that I wasn't in a good place. So on the way home on the train yesterday, I have a notebook with some sayings, some lessons and such, some prayers from the Course that I keep with me all the time, and just in case I get attacked by myself. And so yesterday, since I was doing such a good job at attacking myself, I took my book out and started reading and saying stuff out, you know, silently to myself. Like, and I could feel the shift already, but I knew that if I wanted to continue to feel crappy, that I should just go home and curl up and stay in the house by myself. And I just really wasn't doing that to myself. So I chose for peace, and I was very grateful. So I sometimes I'm not always a happy learner, but I'm willing, and I keep showing up. So even in the midst of the pain yesterday, I was still reaching for Course Wisdom.
Thank you for sharing.
That's it. It's just that tiny bit of willingness, you know? That's it. We just have to keep talking to the Holy Spirit, even if it seems like things out there are kicking up. Oh, wow. Thank you, Carla, so much. Thank you, everybody. This is an amazing, amazing call. I love you
all.
And we'll meet same time next week. So have a miracle-filled week.
Love you all.
You too.
Love
you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay.